Beloved Master Swaha, I like to share something with you. This is my first experience with Mystic Rose in the retreat. I joined in the crying group. It was a long session and also very intense. I experienced that a lot of energy was released. It was very blissful and ecstatic. Sometimes it was almost too much. I'm grateful that Osho has created it. It is an experience of a different dimension of our being, which is often suppressed in the society. In this retreat, and often when I'm at home, I like to know more about the art of non-doing. Non-doing anything, just relaxing into our being. In this retreat, I had a beautiful insight about desirelessness. When a desire arises, I just allow it to dissolve and disappear again. If there is no desire, then there is also no ego. It is so amazing that we can live our lives without the ego and desiring for anything else. Just being in this moment and not going anywhere else, being here and now. There is another question that I want to know about. How can you know if someone has the potential for this path, this pathless path? That would be nice to hear from your experience. Thank you very, very much for your guidance and love. Much love, your disciple, Darshan. That is the whole art of meditation, Darshan, just watching the mind, which is now a perfect time in the Vipassana and silent meditation. Because thoughts are just like clouds. They can't do anything if you don't go with it, if they don't affect you, no? The thoughts cannot force you to anything. Only thing, if you are unconscious, then you respond to the thought. That means a slave of the mind, of the thought. Then you are not your own master. So, becoming your own master means that you are not listening to your mind, to the thought process. So this is exactly how it is in silence, in meditation, how we've been doing it for thousands of years. But before, silent meditation was much more easy because we were unburdened. Now in the Western civilization or in the modern world, because in a way the whole world is becoming Western. Stressful, desire, full of desire, full of thoughts, full of wanting, materialistic things. So that's why it's so important to unburden before you can go into meditation. Otherwise, you will always, you cannot trick your own system if your whole system is full of tensions and past and identification. You can have a glimpse, but it won't last. You have to clean your system. So that's why you said it was a lot of release, almost too much in the mystic rose now, because you are releasing things that has been held back. Nobody is doing this in society, no? If I had been the president, I would make every teenager going through mystic rose, no? And start dynamic. Then they would get a different understanding, in touch with themselves, their innocence, no? And doing dynamic instead of being mobbing each other. No, it's so heavy sometimes that the teenagers do suicide. Because people are after them, no? They will always get harassed. They're feeling totally like alienated, no? They have totally forgotten about their own value, their own silence. And that is what is happening with you. You're coming back again now. Then the whole world changes because you are changing. You are transforming yourself. And when you are unburdened, then just silent meditation is all you need. Because you have seen this magic, just allowing it to dissolve when a desire arises. And then it disappears. And if there is no desire, then there is also no ego. If there is no thought, there is no ego. Ego is just thought. You identified with the thought, with the idea. That creates an ego, which is also false. It's very hilarious. When you see it, it's almost too good to be true, because it's so simple. It is so amazing that we can live our lives without the ego, without desiring for anything, just being in this moment. Yes, it is amazing, but it is also more amazing when you're free of the ego, how we can live with the ego. Like I say, everything is upside down. First, everybody lives with the ego, with the desire, with the thought, with the impulses, because no awareness. More and more conscious, more and more you're catching this. When you are free of the mind, the identification of the mind, when you are rooted in your own being, then nothing disturbs you. It doesn't matter what thoughts come. And one day the thoughts give up, they don't even visit you. Because you don't respond to them. Then you become your own master. There is another question that I want to know about. How can you know if someone has the potential for this path, this pathless path? As far as I'm concerned, everybody has the potential. Everybody has a potential because every human being has a heart, has a soul. So everybody has a potential, but nobody knows that. You don't know your own potential. That's what's happened when you come in satsang, when you come close to an awakened one. Then this side of you starts waking up, your own potential. And that's what the master is doing. He wants to show you your own potential. You have no idea. From being enclosed to being vast. That is the whole journey. From being in prison to being free. So, everybody has this potential, but very few comes across it because nobody is showing it to them. It is by good luck or good karma that you find yourself here. So people cannot understand that if they don't get touched by it. You cannot even explain to somebody how a taste of an apple is if they haven't tasted it. No? What to say about this? So, for me, everybody has the potential, but they never get there. So you can get born and die without fulfilling your potential. That is very normal. That it is what is normal. What is almost unnormal, which is in reality the most normal, is to flower to your own potential. To realize your vastness. That you are more than your body and your thoughts. That's why you are here. That is the possibility of life, to wake up. But very few is doing it. Look how millions of ways people are wasting their life. And it's always been like that because they don't know, no? You are just lucky that you find yourself here. And seeing these things. And if you meet by people that you meet in your life, your own intuition has to tell you that. If you can talk about these things, if people are thirsty, if they want to. Otherwise, better to be quiet. Look at all the people. You had no idea about your potential. No? Look now, how silent. Look at yourself. How is this possible? You're sitting here so silent, totally content. What happened? You weren't aware of this potential in you, you know, this longing for peace. You need a mirror to reflect your true longing. Otherwise, the mind is longing for all nonsense. You have to be reflected and see your true potential. That is the art of the guru. He has to show you, reflect that true longing to you. beloved, I have to share this since it's coming up now with more intensity. It is related to something that is very old in my life, and somehow I learned to deal with it. But now I feel more than ever that is hindering me from helping my own growth. Where is that seem? I always had a hard time when I needed to express myself about my feelings. Not only you, everybody. Because you are not learned, you don't know how to trust your own feelings. You learn to trust your mind, which doesn't know, which will take you astray. The feelings, which in a way is just a deeper aspect of your mind, but they are more real, your emotions. But in the society, nobody shows their feelings because you have to show your vulnerability. And the mind, the ego, wants to be in control, like a machine. So this is the sad situation. And then we have a hard time when I needed to express myself about feelings. Looking back through my life, I see now that I have always been dealing with my problems and suffering very quietly and very seldom sharing or asking for help from anyone. And it's getting clear that this is the way again. Since I met you, I see this is changing, but I still hold myself back from saying things to people, even when it's absolutely needed. I'm so used to keeping quiet and waiting for the situation to change or for someone else to say what is needed to be said. I try to understand what is behind it, but I don't really know yet. No, that is fine, but you are on the way. You have to take one step at a time. And that's what I'm teaching you in so many ways. We are multidimensional. I'm working with you on all different levels. You can understand something in the head. I even know people who is so-called satsang teachers, but they are just enlightened up here. It's not integrated. So it's a long journey to come back to yourself, to realize yourself. Then you have to come back again from that, to incorporate that wisdom, that light, into the physical. So you can talk and live and function in a new way. So one thing is to stand up for your feelings, getting to know yourself, coming back, purify yourself. That's why I'm so much showing you to share, to talk, to be truthful, to stand up for your own intuition. It has to be integrated on all levels. Because to be human means you are interacting with others. If you don't escape to a cave, but that we have done so many times, it's not really the time for it now. Maybe it's time for a period of time. I even tried myself. When I came back to myself, I just wanted to be alone. At last, My God, I will never go down. I lived in the Himalayas. I never go down on the plains again. No way. Only problems there. Only problems and confusion. All the people. No. My head was above the clouds now, where the sun was shining. So nice. So a simple life. But then the gods themselves were saying, no, it's not the time now. No, no, I said, I don't want it. But what can you do? If you surrender, you surrender. And then the mess started. Trying to wake up other people. But it's so delightful because you see the results. So don't keep quiet and don't wait for the situation to change. If you see something, you have to learn to trust your own intuition. The point is that I feel it is needed to go deeper into this and learn new ways of being more truthful with others and with myself. That's why I wanted to share this with you and with everybody. All the power to you, Asim. That's how it is, exactly like that. And you have to stand up for it, you have to feel that. And when you stand up for it, you share it with me and you share it with people, then it integrates in you. You have to stand up for your own truth. That will make you stronger. That means, no, I don't listen to my mind. I don't listen to all the tricks. I'm not hiding. I want to live. I want to stand up. I want to be free. I want to become real. Then existence itself will come and support you because it's waiting for it. No words to thank you, Babaji, for giving your light into my dark spots and making me see more and more. Thank you. At your feet, Asim. Yes, and you are much more than you think. So don't think. Beloved Master, in today's satsang, I was very identified with many things that Dharman wrote, and it was very good to hear all the answers that you gave to us. Thank you for this light. It is like you said in my last letter to you. We have to choose the positive always. Yes. First, you have to get rid of the negativity, the repressed, and make it positive. No? Then your life becomes a dance. You become happy. Before you had a long, serious face. Then you get a face of happiness. No? That is the work you can do. Then in meditation, you go deeper. You go beyond the opposite. Happiness and sadness. Darkness and light. Up and down. Then true peace, true understanding comes. Positivity is not the end, but is so intoxicating because you have been so negative. You have been so lost in the dark that first, that's what I call honeymoon. But the real work really starts after that, when you start going deeper into yourself, losing your whole identity. The other day I was listening to this satsang, Enlightenment, the Natural State, where you said that the disciple should be at least 12 years with the master to understand his message, and then 12 years more to mature everything. In case he becomes enlightened. In case. I understand what you are hinting, something, but it's very difficult to repeat what I'm saying, I know. So from this point, I think that I just have to go easy. And the first learn meditation, silence, love, even how to breathe, I'm having to learn with melting. I think I don't have much problem, because it's very easy to dissolve in your love. Yes. And if you can do that, my dear Badavi, then you have the master technique. If somebody is connected and can melt with the master, you don't need any other technique. It's the ultimate technique. That is Guru Yoga. It goes beyond all techniques. If you don't have a master, you have to struggle a lot. If you fall more and more in tune with the master, that means you are opening up so he can flood you. Then that understanding will come by itself. This with the 12 years, this is what masters always have been saying in India and in China and Japan. And my dear Papaji, he often talked about that. That in the old days, you had to be 12 years with the master. And maybe the master doesn't even say anything to you. He's just watching how you function. If you're doing the work, if you are sweeping the courtyard, if you are cleaning the floor, if you are trying to meditate, how total you are, how devoted you are, how much longing you are. It is just a hint that is not easy. And before, people were very, very dedicated. They didn't go give up. They were more committed. So you can imagine, if you have that you're going to stay, you don't even know. The master has not even given you a blessing. He just allowed you to come into the temple, into the ashram. And for many, many years, you just have to be a nobody and do ordinary things. But that in itself is a purification. And the master is watching. And then one day, maybe he invites you for tea. And it's ecstasy. Because now you have shown you are just wanting to come closer. And then he watches that, how you receive it, how you are functioning. And then he can start teaching. Because he knows you are dedicated. It's just when Papaji said all these things, it was really to remind all the Westerners, because it was a madhouse there many times. People coming, going, wanted the quick enlightenment. And you cannot look at the master how he is. He had also a past where he was totally dedicated and went through hardship and purifications and challenges. So these 12 years they always said. And often Papaji said that because it was mostly Westerners, of course. He was coming. And when you come to satsang, you can get an insight very easily. You can even think you are enlightened because you come into that space. But that is the grace and the climate of the master, of the enlightened ones. That doesn't mean that that is integrated in you. So it's something to remember, that you have to be patient. 12 years, 20 years, your whole life. That is the feeling you should do. That is the dedication. Which is easy when you have connected with the master, because you just want to stop. Like you say, with melting, I think I don't have much problem. It's very easy to dissolve in your love. Yes, and who is left if you dissolve? When you dissolve, you have learned meditation, you have learned silence, you have learned love. So don't let your mind make a problem. Everything that is worth learning, you learn here, if you can melt. And if you have that in your heart, I can sit there for 12 years. Then you are very fortunate, because people are very restless. And that's why again and again Papaji said these things. Things can happen quick, but you also in you, you have to be ready to wait for eternity and be available. No, people want a quick fix now. It's not like that. Only when you really fall in tune, when you fall in love, then time disappears then. Then it doesn't matter. You just want to sit there.
Beloved Babaji, I was hesitating to write this letter, but the willingness to do it is stronger than the hesitation. Where's Aima?
That is good. Because most of the time you also are quiet. You stick your head out and say hello. Hello, Aima.
This hesitating, that is, you don't long enough now, just put your head out, ask questions. Now that's why you are here. The Guru will remove all your doubts.
I just wanted to share that the crying in the last week happened in a very, very beautiful way. The tears came from different directions and in different colors. I cried for my childhood, for my family drama, for this beautiful Mother Earth, and many other things, but it was in the last video, satsang, watching you talking about Osho, your respect and admiration for him. It's much more than respect and admiration. It's so much that it's even difficult for me to talk about him, because I just start crying. He is more worth than my own parents. And no words, if the master, if you are really with your master,
can tell that respect, love, silence, gratitude. No words can say that, no talking. Because all that is felt in silence, in gratitude. And also Osho was talking about love and tears. It was too much. Yes, that's what these people want to do. Just be too much. So you break. It's all too much. I closed my eyes and the only thing I could see was me touching your feet from a time and space far beyond my memory. The tears just showered in gratitude. In the end, beloved, I just want to say that it doesn't matter if it's relaxing in your garden or exploring the depths of this forest or enjoying in a magical sunset in Chiang Mai. Just to close my eyes and feel you in my heart is just like a big and super juicy Hari Om. Thank you, Guruji. I love you. Hari Om. Ayaman. In today's satsang, beloved master, when I placed myself in a position to show that I did not want to hide or protect anything, I simply felt guilty due to some things I had done to you in the past. I don't know what it was, but I want to say that I'm very sorry. I also don't know what I did to deserve to come back here. And I also don't know if it matters so much, but I feel it is good to say I'm sorry, so this guilt is not in between us. Thank you for all your soft kisses, and thank you for being here with us. Namaste, beloved master. Tirth. Tirth. You're back now. You have done something to me, Tirth. How can you do that? I don't know you have done anything. But this is how the mind is. How can you do something? I always just loved you. It's very strange, no? And then, of course, when you create these things, it makes poison inside, no? But as far as I'm concerned, it has never been anything in between. It's all self-created. So it's good you see it and let it go. So nothing is in between. Why should there be anything in between? There's nothing. You see anything in between? No. Accept things as it is. So easy. But it's almost too good to be true. So the mind is trying to make problems that is not there. There's no problem. The only love is there. Can you accept that? It's not a question of deserving. It's just open house.
This river is a mighty one. I have to trust its flow. if you asked me where it's taking us, I wouldn't say I know. But I will go there willingly. She's never led me astray, and I've only been bruised when I've refused.
You feel with my
My beloved Guruji, I have been feeling to share with you for a long time. Everything is so intense that sometimes I find it difficult. I would like to say that every letter read in satsang contains a piece of me, and that I'm always amazed for the space that you have created for us. Your presence is the strongest blessing I have in my life, and I'm deeply grateful for the support of my loving friends in the Sangha. Experiencing togetherness has been a beautiful gift, such an opportunity for seeing things that alone I would never be able to. I feel deeply grateful for that too. Deeper inside, I have been going through different processes in many aspects of life. Sometimes it's painful, sometimes scary. But behind them all, I see the gift of awareness and the possibility for change. I have been feeling that all my cells needs to transform for the total change to happen. And now I'm learning to forgive myself and to be patient. It feels like I have been running around so much that I missed the point to stop. I hear the longing for a total stop, for a rest. Yesterday in satsang, I felt that nothing will hold me back to dissolve in this love. It is so good when everything is so free and open. Thank you so much for bringing me to this amazing journey, my beloved. I am deeply grateful to you. I feel like a pool of blessed silence trying to describe itself. I feel reverence is the closest word. Love, respect and tears. Yours, your Gita. Follow that longing, your Gita, just to melt, just to relax, just to stop. And it's good. We have to see it and see how tired we are for long running around before you can really stop. It's available. You want it. Do it. No more fighting, okay? No more struggling. Just accept how good it is. We are so used to running around that it's very difficult to stop. The habit is running, action. You have to find the still point even in the doing. The non-doing in the doing. The relaxation in the action, which you're finding here. Then you have to bring that centeredness, that relaxation, that peace into your daily life.
miracles are happening. When you see Devadasi is so gone, and there is absolutely no more running around, then truly miracles are happening. That's amazing. What do you say, Devadasi? What do you say? Isn't it good to stop the others? So nice when it rains, no? Because then you don't feel so much that you have to run around. It's perfect. Everything is just so perfect. I don't understand how it's possible. Beloved one, a question came up in me. Sometimes I have heard a few people in the Sangha that are also going to see other masters or teachers saying that it is the same love. They are just different forms sharing the same thing in different ways. And I guess, yes, of course, if the master is real, it must be like that. It is the same love, it is the same source. But it comes a question in me, is that really the point? And the next question that comes, what is transforming me? Is it your sharing itself that is transforming me, or is it my burning towards you? I don't know if there is even a difference between your sharing and my burning, but the question comes up, what is transforming me? Is it my own intensity, my own focus, my own direction? The total burning, the willingness to go through the fire, the readiness to live and to die for you, the readiness for anything, because meeting your eyes, seeing the eternity in your eyes, there is no doubt in me. I can jump into the fire, or into the waterfall, or into death, and into life, just like that. Because I trust you. Is it your eternal love that transforms me? Or is it my trust in you, my surrender to you, my burning love for you, the focus on your face, no matter what happens, no matter what passes, no matter what I go through, the focus on your face. Your face is what gives me my burning longing, the direction. Isn't it that direction, the intensity of that direction, that transforms me, or at least is needed for the transformation to happen? Deep inside of me, I can recognize the reality of that. There is no one there. I am in love with nobody. I burn towards nobody.
the empty sky put on your beautiful face to give me, to give us, someone to fall in love with, someone to burn towards, someone to surrender to walk through the fire for, to trick us. I know deep inside of me that you are tricking me, beloved, and yes, yes, please trick me. Let me burn, let me burn. I'm eternally grateful. What an immense gift, beyond any words, to live for you, to die for you, to surrender to you, to be yours, to have your face, to worship. Your eyes to trust, your feet to bow down to. Till my face disappears and yours, and only the eternal sky is left. Can this intensity happen if the focus is with more than one master? Can transformation happen? Eternally yours at your feet, Savini. It's strange to talk about these things because everybody is at different places. But this letter, it comes from a devotee. The transformation already has happened. So a devotee cannot understand. If somebody has found and been transformed, it makes no sense, because the master gives you freedom. If they haven't connected with that, the searching goes on, of course. But in your instant, the seeker is gone. And as long as somebody goes to other masters or any other things at all, looking for something, there is still the seeker. So when the seeker is gone, it's not possible to understand. So it's two different levels. A seeker means something he's seeking, or she's seeking something, no? She's still seeking something. So she's looking for something else. When you find, that disappears. There's nothing to look for, because you have found. So, this is how it is, and it will always be. And, like Osho talked about many times, you have a part of love, of surrender, of devotion, of the heart, of flowers, of beauty. And you have a path of will, of doing, of struggling, of more awareness, meditation, more drive. These are the two parts. None of them is easy, but in a way, the path of love is easier because you melt. From the first moment, you can melt. And that is your path. But there's always a few. It's not many, but there is a few who has this. And they are still kind of seeking, looking. That just means that they haven't connected. If you have really connected, it's impossible. Because to find, even to come across a master,
is the greatest blessing in life. All the Buddhas have said. Buddha said it's the greatest gift. So if you have really been receptive and been touched by the Master, it's impossible. You want to go deeper. It's the ending of the search. But I have seen it was, it's always people like that. It's bound to be. But I can totally understand you, because I was the same when I was with Osho. I had a few people that I knew that suddenly one day he comes and say, oh, Krishnamurti is in Madras. Are you coming? And I said, so what? Krishnamurti is in Madras. No, I'm going to go there. For me it was totally, my God, my Master is here. You are a sannyasin. But I understood, he hasn't been touched on that level that I had been touched by that grace. So it's in my own experience, I saw sannyasins who were like, but they were still looking. And for any master, it doesn't matter which master, what it matter is your connection. If you are so fortunate that you connect with the guru, with the master, and he or she embraces you, for God's sake, stop. And if that hasn't happened, the seeking goes on. You see again and again people, I just want to stay, I just want to melt. The transformation has happened. That means it's no more looking. But like Papaji said many times also, these Westerners, and I must have a more an Eastern heart, they give their heart so easily. They give their heart so easily away. Even in your relationships, in the way of your living, you just throw your heart away like that. And what to say when you behave like that around the Master? You have to be total. That's what the Master is looking for, your totality. So he can pour himself into you. If he doesn't see that totality, it doesn't work. It's not from the Master's side. It's just the disciple has to be receptive. And Papaji said many times, these people, they run around. They hear something there, something there, something there. And I have seen also people, not many, one or two or three, that has gone. And even if it's two enlightened ones, their teaching and their way of expressing it will be totally different. The enlightenment is the same, but the expression of the truth will be different. So for the disciple, for the seeker, it can be very confusing because they're still picking up something there, something there, something there. And some people have that. Like more they do, or more teachers or master they go to, the more they gain, but it's not like that. Most of the time it's more confusion. If you find somebody, stop, get involved. And many times people also, they come so unconsciously, just by good luck, that they have no idea that they have to go out and get confused. And then maybe they realize more what they have. It's a mystery. And all the Master is, the only thing I'm saying is just be yourself. Whatever it is, just be yourself. But I can understand your dilemma, because I had the same thing. I saw the same thing around Osho. I saw the same thing around Papa also. It will always be like that. It has never been in me, so it's not my experience. Because when I came to my master, that was it. And he even told me, you have traveled enough, no money, just stay here. Just stay. And say, yes, yes. And that yes was total. The Sufi compares this with the master-disciple like a love affair. So beautifully, the Rumis, the Hafiz, all the Sufi masters. Because that is the only thing on a human level that touches your heart. A love affair. But if you really, even in ordinary life, if you really fall in love, which it seems like is very difficult to happen these days, but you really have that openness and that trust, and you fall in love, are you then going to another woman, another man? It doesn't make sense. That means that you haven't really found love, you're still looking, which it seems like most people are doing. They are even cheating behind the doors. But what kind of love is that? Love means, no, you are fulfilled. You want to go deeper into the mystery of love. And when it's like that, even in human, in marriages, in relationship, that people cannot really be devoted. What to say then about the master and the disciple? But when that is crossed, that you have been touched by the master, then everything changes. You don't understand. Because it's the most precious in life. You want to get involved. You want to be total. You want even to die for the master. Because all fear is gone. That is the way of the heart. Papaji said many times, to receive the master, his message, you have to be holy. Who is holy? What do you mean with holy? You have to be pure. You have to be receptive. Otherwise you will never receive what the master really wants to give you. You have to be purified. You have to be receptive, available. And then, if you are holy, that means you are whole. You are not split. You are not looking anywhere. You are not going anywhere. You are total there. To be holy is to be whole. You are one, one heart, one longing, one totality, 100%. Then he said, just one look from the master. Just one look, and it can transform you. Just one word, and it can transform you. Just one touch, and it can transform you. Because it's absolutely nothing in between. You are just longing, you are just totally available. But that goes beyond any teaching, any technique. any discipline. It's a secret. That is the secret between the disciple and the guru. It's like the flame of consciousness jump from one into the other. That love gets ignited. And when you have first felt that, it's impossible. From my own experience, it's impossible. In fact, it never even came up, ever, in this body. But I have seen it. It's normal. And I'm not saying it's wrong, because nothing is. I'm just saying the truth as it is. And it has been times in India, in Japan, in China, where even the master sent the disciple to different masters because they didn't click, or there were different types. But they were still seeking. But if you find, you find. Then you stop. Even to meet the master is so amazing. When I was still living in India, and some of my dear enlightened friends was still alive, like Ramesh, like Kiran Bhai, like Girida, like Papaji. It was some years that I took some friends to them, because I hadn't gone out much. It was very small circle of people that was very attracted to me, because I was very shy and I didn't want to deal with people. Then I took them to these people instead, because they had helped me so much to integrate. Then I remember they say, but after they've been in satsang, but why you take us here? Vasant Maharaj, why you take us here? We just want to be with you. Why you take us here? And I was starting to think, my God. That's how it is. It was my part. No, these people want to, they want to be with me. They think, why you take me there to this old Babaji there? And that was very hard for me to accept. Because I loved them. But then they loved me. Then it was all love. And love has mysterious ways. So it's all this. It's the direction, it's the intensity, it's the love, the trust, the dedication, the willingness that comes totally effortlessly if you have surrendered. Then you don't understand why people can talk about it. But it just means that they are still seeking. Too much trying. Too much doing. You haven't come to that point where you just want to stop and melt and disappear. So that, for the lover, for the disciple, for the devotee, that can happen very easily because it's a way of the heart. The heart feels it. From the path of will, of doing, of effort, then it's more a struggle. You have to polish it. But if it's a true master, it doesn't matter because all the master wants for you to wake up and be yourself. And if that doesn't happen in the presence of one master, then go wherever. It really doesn't matter. It can only matter for somebody who is not enlightened, that he wants to hold on. The only suggestion he would say is, wherever you go, be total. And that's what I observed also, both around Osho, around Papaji, and around myself, that people go, but they are not even total here. They didn't even question when they were there, and still they are looking. So these are just different things for different people, no? It's a different way. Everybody has to find their own way. But for the devotee, he can't understand because you have found. So for the master is always open and available, and the whole process is when the disciple slowly opens up and become more receptive, humble, less arrogant, less conflict, then he started opening, questioning, coming closer. That happens by itself. It's nobody can do anything. It's out of your own understanding. And it has nothing to do with what one does. I never cared about what was happening around Osho. I was interested in Osho. I was interested in the fire to get warm. Not whatever he talked about, not whatever technique he was giving me. It didn't matter. It was a total trust, a total yes. And that total yes transforms you. Even Ramana Maharshi, he said, realization is the result of the Guru's grace more than of the teaching, of any teaching, lectures, meditations, sadhanas, etc. These are only secondary. But that is the primary and essential cause, the Guru's grace. It's the Guru's grace. And how does the Guru's grace happen? When the Guru feels that you are totally available, thirsty, longing for it, devoted to love itself, to truth itself, to freedom itself. Nobody is doing anything, but it happens. It happens in the totality. Neither the disciple does anything, neither the Guru does anything. But it's out of that intimacy, that grace. This is the mystery. It's way beyond any doing, any technique. I will read you something that Osho said, because nobody talks so beautiful as my master. That's how every devotee is. When you are gone in the master, then they say, "This the most beautiful." In the silences of the heart, there is a meeting between the master and the disciple. Both know that something has moved. Some energy has been transmitted. That the flame that was asleep in the disciple is asleep no more. It has jumped into aliveness and consciousness. This is the transmission of the lamp. The transmission of the lamp that I've been talking about in India, in China, in Japan, always from the master to the disciple. They know you are ignited by the spark of love, of truth. But you can do it only if you have it. A strange situation is needed. The master has to have it, and the disciple has to be ready to receive it. So, it can only happen if the master has it. No, if the master is really, if you are so fortunate to come across somebody that has it, and if you are longing and willing and humble and holy enough to receive it, then it can happen. It will happen. Nothing is said, nothing is heard, and all dialogues is over. After that happening, there is no more dialogue. You don't need to talk. Everything is understood. Because you start beating together as one heart. You don't have any more conflict. There is no more separation. You are totally in tune. This is the mystery. The master is already in tune. He is already gone. No. In the magic mystery of love, of devotion, of surrender, the disciple also disappeared into the master. No more conflict, no more dialogue, no more questions. Between the master and the disciple, if the rule of the game is followed rightly, devotion arises. If the rule of the game, and this game is master-disciple game, that the master is trying to wake up the disciple. He's not even trying, he's just available. It's the disciple who has to work. But if the disciple play this game rightly, Osho said, devotion arises. It has to. Because you go deeper into your heart. It's a journey back to your own heart. And when the heart is ignited, devotion will come, understanding will come, peace will come. Devotion is the fragrance, the river that flows between the two banks of the master and the disciple. That is why it's so difficult for the outsider to understand anything about the master disciple. But I am not interested at all in the outsider's understanding of it. Because this is very esoteric. It's an esoteric game. It is only for the insider. It is only for the disciple. That is why I'm not interested even in answering people who are not insiders, because they will not understand. They do not have the attitude of being which understanding becomes possible. May that understanding arise in everybody. Because here it is totally available. Just open up and receive it. It's a non-doing. And that's why it's so difficult to grasp. It's a non-doing. It is an allowing, a let go. A receiving, an opening, a disappearing. That is the ecstasy. Aum Shanti.